The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
As the deadline for the US tariffs is nearing, the EU and the US are on the verge, it appears, of reaching an agreement of 15% tariffs on EU goods entering the United States. This comes just days after the US struck a similar deal with Japan. The pressure is on for EU negotiators, as they want to secure a deal with the US before August the 1st, because that's when Trump has put another deadline in place, saying if you don't agree by then, the tariffs will be universally 30%. Now, for more on this, I'm joined by Suzanne Lynch, Brussels Bureau Chief with Bloomberg. Suzanne, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, will we, won't we have a deal? Let's prepare a retaliatory package, and then suddenly a deal is at hand.
Well, look, it's very unclear about what's going to happen in the next 48 hours or so, but definitely there's been a sign of progress. EU negotiators are in Washington and they feel that they're kind of zoning in on some kind of provisional deal with Donald Trump. And that Trump himself said last night after this reporting that countries would be faced with anything from 15 to 50%. So, I mean, the very fact he's saying 15% is a kind of floor would suggest that he may be open to a 15% rate. Of course, the big question is whether he will increase that again. He obviously threatened 30% about 10 days ago. But it looks like for the moment, the EU would be prepared to accept 15% tariff. But really crucially here, we don't know what else would be in the deal. Like, would that include cars, for example? Pharma is still a huge unknown here. Will the EU get assurances from Donald Trump that he won't hit pharma exports in the future? These are all a lot of questions that remain unanswered. So we're still quite a way, I think, from getting anything specific on this.
Now, you wonder why Trump is maneuvering towards a 15% as he did with Japan. Is it because he's finally listening to people who say, listen, if you look at the inflation figures, they're only beginning to rise, but they are rising. And this is the effect of gross tariffs on stuff that Americans need and will have to buy.
I don't know if that's honestly making an impact with him. I mean, the other way of this, looking at this, is America is gaining a lot of cash basically from these increased tariffs that they have put on in the immediate term. Now, obviously, as you explained there, it's a lot more complex than that. These inflationary pressures the tariffs lead to are a reality. But I don't think that's necessarily driving his thinking. I think the EU is going to have to show some way that it's giving something to the United States. This is the key thing, that a kind of a deal that Donald Trump can take away and say, look, we got this from the EU. I mean, one of the big problems are cars. This is something that Trump has been exercised by for years, for decades, particularly German cars. He wants the Europeans to buy more American cars. Now, we are getting a sense that the Americans are realizing that this isn't really going to happen, mainly because Europeans don't really want to buy US cars. There's not a demand for them. So that's a real sticking point that remains. And also agriculture, we've heard some of the advisors close to Trump saying in the last 24 hours about opening the EU markets to agriculture. Again, that's a bit of a no-no when it comes to trade relations between the US and the EU because of those different standards of production. So it's going to be important what Donald Trump is prepared to accept here. And, you know, it was a very good point. Peter Navarro, his trade advisor, said last night, you know, never assume that anything's fixed until the boss says it's fixed. That's what he said. And there is a sense that the EU negotiators who are negotiating with people like Gluttnick and Greer, the trade representative, that they know and the advisors know that they have limited wiggle room, that really this is going to come down to Donald Trump. But we do know that it has got his attention at the moment, that he believes the negotiations are intensifying and that Donald Trump, you know, is aware of this and is kind of engaging with this in the last 24 hours or so. So that would suggest that maybe something is close.
It must be very difficult for the negotiators on the EU side, knowing they're negotiating with some people who don't really have a full mandate to strike a deal, that it always has to go back to the boss and that the boss is basically crazy.
Well, I mean, there is that point that the European Commission, though, have a similar issue in that if the European Commission officials, these trade people who, you know, learned the ropes during Brexit, they know trade, they know how this system works, they know how to do a deal on trade. So they're doing the negotiations. But ultimately, it's going to be the EU leaders and the EU countries that are signing off on this. So what's happening here is the negotiators and Commissioner Šefčovič, who's in constant contact with Washington, are going in and briefing EU ambassadors and trying to get a lie of the land of what's acceptable to EU member states. You know, the way it works realistically in the European Union is that, you know, Berlin and Paris are going to have a big say here. It always happens like that. Merz and Macron met yesterday in Berlin. No doubt they discussed this. Now, the problem for the EU is that some countries are more exposed than others. Ireland obviously is highly exposed. So is Germany. Not just on cars, but also on pharma. So they've got more skin in the game here on this. But so far, the EU countries have given the Commission the leeway to negotiate on behalf of them. But the Commission is also taking its cue from what member states are telling them too. So it's a delicate balancing act. Now, one thing we can keep an eye on is whether Ursula von der Leyen, the European Commission president, does she have a phone call with Donald Trump? She did have one about 10 days ago. She's in China at the moment, which is kind of interesting timing. Relations between China and the EU aren't great, but the EU is trying to diversify away from the United States at the same time. So will she get involved at some point and pick up the phone to Donald Trump? That's something that could happen in the next while.
It's been observed that Americans visiting Europe are astonished at the number of Chinese cars on European roads. This is the future for them.
Yeah, no, it's a big issue. I mean, the German car industry is very well aware of that. The EU is already tariffed and hit back at China for what it says is anti-competitive practices and flooding the market with EVs and other products. There's a lot of Chinese investment going into Europe. There has been for quite a while, but particularly in Eastern Europe. So BYD, for example, and different Chinese car manufacturers are going into East Europe, in particular into Hungary, for example. Also investment in Serbia. Now, Serbia is not part of the EU. But yes, I think there's a real concern about that. So yeah, the idea that the US car market can kind of take on Chinese EVs in Europe is, I think, a pipe dream. And we are getting a sense that maybe the US negotiators are realizing that there may be losing, you know, not focusing as much on the car issue. But obviously, Donald Trump, it still is a big question for him. But it's a huge export for Germany and also for other countries, say, for example, like Slovakia, that are part of that chain, that are exporting products to the German car industries, which then export the cars.
Yeah.
So it's not just Germany. A lot of European countries are.
The supply chains are very long and complex, and sometimes the law of unintended consequences will swing in. And in aviation, I mean, Ireland could be a victim or we could be an exception.
Yeah, it's interesting in the Japanese trade deal that was done this week, which surprised everyone. They committed to buying more Boeing, for example. And the European Union in the early, like in the preliminary deal that they hope to do, they do want to have some carve outs for aircraft. And that's even aside from the big sectoral sanctions on pharma or steel and aluminum. They do want something on aircraft. So that is a priority in these talks. And it's definitely a priority for Donald Trump. But of course, there are lots of different areas then with people, as I said, where have different exposures. And so they won't be able to get everything. So the question will be what? Now, I mean, in saying this as well, even though the EU seemed to be moving towards some kind of agreement on 15%, in parallel, they've agreed a huge package of up to $100 billion worth of tariffs that they will hit back the US with if this deal collapses before August 1st. And they've also got another trade instrument, another EU acronym called the Anti-Coercion Instrument. But this would allow the EU to hit US services. And that would be a big blow. Now, they're not there yet, but they are preparing this.
Yeah, but does Trump even understand that? Because he doesn't seem to understand that the US has a trade surplus with Europe when you take into account services. So if you were to threaten him with this anti-coercive business, mm-hmm. would he even understand what that meant?
Well, that is a question. I mean, his advisors certainly have been briefed about it. There's a lot of coverage in the media about this. They know that the EU is preparing that and it does have power. I mean, this is the issue for the EU. The EU is a huge trading bloc and it knows it has leverage. And the Americans know it has leverage too. It's not like dealing with Canada, a much smaller country, for example. So in that sense, I think what's happened as well is that Germany in particular has kind of changed. It's coming around to the fact that it may need to be stronger if it needs to against the US. Hmm. France has consistently said that the EU needs to be tougher in these negotiations. Germany wasn't quite there, but I think that has changed now. And I mean, it's worth saying Ireland is one of the now smaller number of EU countries who's advocating that the EU doesn't hit back. You know, I think the mood music is changing since Donald Trump threatened the 30%. I think a lot of EU countries changed their tune.
A few things on the tech screen, for example, Suzanne. Last time I looked, says Niall in Dublin, the EU is the third biggest economy in the world. Can we please man up and believe in ourselves? Another one, make the deal and then start moving away from the US as a trusted trading partner. The world is a big place and we need to look outwards. There's a risk that the US economy will start to shrink as costs to consumers go up. Exports will decline then anyway and the tariff income will shrink. Another one, perhaps a thick question, but could you ask your guest, how are the tariffs generating more revenue for the US when US importers are paying the taxes, simply moving the money from consumers to government within the US? I mean, that's what was predicted. If the tariffs were enormous, 50% or whatever, inevitably the consumer would pay if they continued to buy those goods. But what they're predicting is that 15%, well, maybe the producer, the manufacturer in Europe absorbs 5%. The importer who's making money on the wholesale will absorb 5%, and then the consumer will be hit for 5%, and that might not be noticed. Meantime, the US government is only penalizing its own consumers to the tune of 5%, its own wholesalers 5%, and Europe 5%.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump has told the American people, he said, I think his phrase was, you know, instead of having 10 dolls, you can buy 2 dolls at Christmas. He's communicated with them, you may have short-term gain, pain here, but it will bring, I mean, you're back to the question of what is he trying to achieve by this tariff? Like, at the end of the day, if he succeeds in getting more investment into the United States by any a company outside the United States, he will see that as a win. We saw AstraZeneca in the UK announced a massive investment in the United States just in the last few days. So that is a win for Donald Trump, if you like. If there are some companies who, instead of investing more, for example, in Ireland, do invest more in the United States, that would be a win for Donald Trump. That's the way he sees it. He feels that this manufacturing, this high-end manufacturing, should go back to the United States. Now, we know, obviously, that it's much more complex than that and that companies are not just going to pull out and move to the United States. That's very, very clear. But if they're holding back investment in Europe and they're going to reprioritize future investment in the United States, well, then he will have achieved what he set out to achieve to some extent on that front. But look, we are in a negotiation. Donald Trump knows this too. I mean, both sides, we saw this between the US and China, the tariffs ratcheted up well past 100% and both sides pulled back. So we are in that situation now. I think the big unknown now is that we're talking about 15% being acceptable. Donald Trump may come back in the next few days and say, actually, no, I want 20 or 25%. And then we're back to square one because I don't think that would be acceptable to the EU. I don't think the German economy, for example, could take that if there isn't a deal on cars and if pharma is not resolved. So we don't know. I don't know if 15% is the final word from Donald Trump. We have no indication that it is. The European Union is getting that messaging, but I think he could turn around and try and get back up towards 30% in the next few days. So I don't think we're by any means, you know, this is the final figure. Maybe it will be, but there's a big unknown around this as we go into the weekend.
Suzanne Lynch, Brussels Bureau Chief with Bloomberg. Suzanne, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.